Closing out this series on the four F's, we have looked at fear, faith, and fellowship, and today we turn to the final F, future. Now, for many people, the future seems ominous, dark, and foreboding. They see no hope in the future. They see no light in the future. They see no relief in the future. They see no reason to go on into the future. They remind me of the story I heard about a frog who went to see a fortune teller. The fortune teller, gazing into her crystal ball, said to the frog, "You are going to meet a beautiful young woman. From the moment she sets eyes on you, she'll have an insatiable desire to know all about you. She'll be fascinated with you. She'll be compelled to get close to you." The frog looked very excited and said, "Where will I meet her? At a singles club?" The fortune teller replied, "No, in a biology class." Some of you are remembering back to biology. Oh, yeah. As Christ followers, we do not view the future with fear. Rather, we view the future with faith. We view the future in fellowship with like believers. And today's text touches upon the first three F's that we've already looked at. Verse 16 regards fear, where Paul writes and says, "So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day." I like how the Amplified Version paraphrases this verse. "Therefore, we do not become discouraged, spiritless, disappointed, or afraid. Though our outer self is progressively wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day by day." Verse 13 regards faith, where Paul writes, "But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, 'I believed and so I spoke,' we also believe and so we speak." And verse 15 speaks of fellowship, where Paul writes and says, "Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God." Now, I don't have time today to touch upon the various opinions regarding the future. However, Kelly Dixon and I are teaching a class each Sunday morning on the book of Revelation, and if you have questions about the future, I want to invite you to come, particularly on the Sundays that Kelly is teaching. Today I want to focus on how we are to view the future and how we are to respond to the future in the light of not living in fear, but of living in faith, of living in fellowship with other believers. So first of all, to face the future, my perspective must change. To face the future, my perspective must change. I don't know about you, but I find it very easy to lose my focus. My focus is primarily on me. What I want to do, how someone hurt my feelings, what my opinion is, what my plans are, what I want to do, what I'm intending to say, what I. I'll just give you an example. On Sunday afternoons, I look at my phone, I look at my weather app, I look and see if there's going to be a warm morning or a warm afternoon, and the reason I'm looking is because I want to play golf. It's about what I want to do. And I'm trying to see how can I make what I want to do work for me. But Paul calls us, rather than focusing upon ourselves and focusing upon our lives and focusing upon me, to begin to focus on eternity. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, Paul writes these words, "For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure." Now, I'm not talking about denial. I do understand that our bodies age, that our joints ache, that our hearts can be broken, that at times we just want to give up. But the Scripture continually reminds us that we, that I, that me is not intended to be the primary focus of my life. In Romans 8, verse 18, Paul writes these words, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us." 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, Paul writes Timothy and says, "I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal, but God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." And then in the very next chapter, chapter 3, verse 12, and it's helpful for us to remember that as Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, Paul is in a Roman prison, and within days, Paul is going to be beheaded. He writes this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, "Indeed, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Things are going to happen. Bad things are going to happen to you and I. Things we don't understand, things we don't like, things we can't comprehend, things we didn't prepare for. Those things are going to happen. And yet the Scripture, in telling us that these things are going to happen, reminds us that our time on earth is designed to be temporary. That our time on earth is designed to begin to prepare us for eternity. Jesus said this in Mark 8:36. "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose their soul?" In the light of eternity, my perspective must change in how I view life. And this is where faith comes in. And this is where fellowship with other believers comes in. And this is where not living in fear comes in. That I must change my perspective from where I am right now and what I'm going through right now and what life holds for me today or what life may hold for me next week or next month or next year, to begin to turn my focus upon eternity. Am I ready for eternity? Am I prepared for eternity? Are my prayers geared toward eternity? Am I praying for other people and how they are facing eternity? How is my life? What is the focus of my life? And the Scripture is reminding us that our perspective has to be on eternity. The word perspective, and I should have defined this earlier, Webster defines it this way, the capacity to view things in their true relations or their relative importance. What you focus on is what your life is centered around. What you talk about is what your life is centered around. What you're drawn to is because of what our lives are centered around. And the Scripture tells us that there's nothing wrong with life. There's nothing wrong with enjoying life. There's nothing wrong with being here. But our focus is so easy for it to become what's going on right now rather than heaven and eternity. My 70, my 80, my 90 years here on earth, however long Jesus allows me to live, is just a split second in the light of eternity. And am I making preparation for eternity? So to face the future my perspective must change. And then secondly, to face the future, my perseverance must increase. To face the future, my perseverance must increase. The future we are facing today and moving step by step into is not for the faint of heart, and it's not for the weak in spirit. I was on a conference call yesterday as part of a class I'm taking, and I was telling Sherry about it. There were two other pastors. We were broke off into small groups to discuss a topic that we had to prepare for and then come back. And two other pastors, United Methodist pastors. One lives, or pastors in Tennessee, one pastors in South Carolina. And we had finished our assignment, and we had about 5 minutes before we had to rejoin the class. And one of the pastors asked, "What's going on in your church in the light of COVID and in the light of the effect it's having on the church and it's having upon people?" And I never had the opportunity to speak because the other two pastors, one of them was a lady, she began to talk, and she talked about the effect it was having on her people, on her church, her congregation. Not just in attendance, not just those who just didn't come back, but the effect it is having and continues to have upon the church mentally and emotionally. How we have become now, our lives, rather than revolving around Christ, now they revolve around COVID. And we hear about this. Somebody said yesterday, there's another form of Omicron that they found. This is going to be our future. And we have to force ourselves to get our eyes, it doesn't mean we live in denial, but to begin to get our perspective on what's coming and the kingdom of God. And we have to understand, in order to go into the future that awaits us, our perseverance is going to have to increase. We cannot be people that are just offended by every little thing. We cannot be people that at the least little thing, well, I'm going to take my ball and go home. We can't be people who just give up. We have to be people who say, I am going to persevere. I'm going to make it through. I'm not giving up. I'm not throwing in the towel. I am going to get through this and move on to the next challenge and the next challenge and the next challenge. I'm not going to just wrap a towel over my head and say, I'm just waiting for Jesus to come back. Our perseverance, we're going to have to toughen up. We're going to have to get stronger. We're going to have to spend more time in God's Word. We're going to have to spend more time in prayer. We're going to spend more time in fellowship with each other. We're going to be more connected with each other to persevere through what is facing the church if Jesus tarries. We are called upon to be people of endurance. Jesus said this in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, beginning in verse 47. As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and then puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. That last part, when I was typing out that passage of Scripture in my notes, I made it bold. This section that begins, the torrent struck that house. Because you are a follower of Christ, you and I are not isolated from the world. We're not isolated from pain. We're not isolated from sickness. We're not isolated from heartache. We're not isolated from people doing us wrong. We're not isolated from broken relationships. We are in a broken world. But Jesus said the torrent struck the house, but it couldn't shake it. The house endured because it was built upon a rock. There was no wall around this house. There was nothing around this house to turn the flood. The floods hit the house. The house had to stand on its foundation. And honestly, and I say this in all love and kindness, but one of the things COVID has shown, not only the church, but has shown our nation, is what our foundation is really on. It's revealed the foundation that we've built our life on. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Paul said, "We do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day." Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you." Revelation chapter 3, verse 11, Jesus said, "I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown." We work diligently to make sure that our outer nature does not waste away. We take vitamins, we take supplements, we go to the doctor, we get shots, we go to the gym, we walk, we try to watch the sugar that we eat, which I don't think is a good thing for you. You know, we try to do all these things to preserve our lives. And yet Paul said, this body, this life, this temple is wasting away. And I can't stop that. I can try to slow it down, but I can't stop it. But he said, we don't fear that because our inner nature is being renewed day by day. How do I increase my perseverance? Well, unfortunately, there's no easy way. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 says this, "Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him." How does my perseverance increase? It increases when my perseverance is tested. It increases when I am forced to go through the tests and the trials of life. And it is tested. My perseverance increases when I discover through what I'm going through that every word of God is true. My perseverance increases when I discover, because of what I'm facing, that He truly is a shield to those who trust and take refuge in Him. My tests and my trials prove more about myself and my relationship with God than anything I say. Do you remember these words? "What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have precious peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms." That is how our perseverance increases. When we face the things we dread, and we face the things we fear, and we find the arms of God extended toward us, and we hear Him say, "Just lean into me. Lean into me. I know your earth is shaking. I know your world is shaking. Lean into me. I know the flood is beating against the house. Lean into me." Lee Atwater was a political consultant to former President Jimmy Carter, and he is most famous for a phrase that he coined, three words, "Perception is reality." That simply means you don't have to worry about the facts. If you keep telling people the same thing, they begin to believe it until for them it becomes a fact. If you don't believe that, just watch the news. And you'll see it all played out. We're going to make you believe what we want you to believe, because then we can get you to do what we want you to do. Perception is reality. What you believe becomes your reality. So if you believe fear, your life, your actions, your words revolve around fear. If your reality is faith, your life, your actions, your words revolve around faith. And your level of fellowship with other believers is going to be directly influenced by either fear or by faith. That's why the Apostle Paul closed out our text with this admonition in verse 18. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. So I want to close today's message with a question. A question I'm asking myself and a question that I invite you to ask yourself. What are you looking at? What are you looking at? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. We thank you that you have called us to be people of faith. That we understand and we grab on to the writer of Hebrews where he says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We thank you, Father, that you've designed us to be people of fellowship, to fellowship with you and to fellowship with each other. And we recognize, Father, how easily our fellowship is influenced by either fear or faith. And we thank you, Father, that you have a wonderful future planned for us. And you call us to be people who, even though we are living in this world, we recognize that this is not where our citizenship is, but our citizenship is in heaven. Lord, I pray that our prayers would be influenced by our view of the future. I pray, Lord, that the way we interact with other people would be influenced by our view of the future. I pray, God, that the way we see people, the way we see others, would be influenced by our view of the future. I pray, Father, that we would take the Word of God and the things of God seriously because they tell us about our future. We pray, Lord, that we would not be so tied into this earth and the things of this world that we would not be willing to let them all go if we had to or if we were asked to in order to move deeper and further into our future. Lord, today, let our perspective change. And Lord, let our perseverance increase so that we can stand and say, as the Apostle Paul did, my focus is not on what I can see, but what I cannot see. Because I know and understand that what I can see with the natural eye fades away, it ends, it ceases. But what can only be seen with the eyes of the Spirit endures forever. May we be people, Lord, of the Spirit. And I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.